Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
Holla! Tonight we're going to figure out if any of these house cats are actually going to start playing the game. Plus, we're talking to a Big Brother legend to get his take on the season of Temptation. Welcome to the Big Brother After Show.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin!
Bryce, it's Kesha!
Yeah, I know. I like it. It's called Woman.
Right, because we're all about girl power here.
We are. We are all about girl power. You guys, welcome to the Big Brother After Show. I'm Bryce McClay. You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Bryce Advice.
And, you know, girl power, Bryce totally did not pick the song just for...
Why? I could have picked this song.
Just for disclaimer, this was all me. But I'm your host.
I like it.
Right? It's very catchy. I knew. I'm going to get Bryce on the Kesha train. But anyways, I'm your host for this BB19 After Show, Morgan Ouellette. You can find me on Twitter at Morgan_Ouellette.
And he is the Baron of Big Brother, the winner of Big Brother 16. Please welcome Derek Lavasser. Hey, are you doing?
I'm good. How are you guys?
How do you like the song choice?
I love it.
I know everyone's clearly a Kesha fan here.
Well, we are so excited to have you. Why don't you tell everybody where they can find you on social media?
Social media, Twitter, Derek L. And Instagram, it's Derek V. Lavasser.
Nice. Okay, well, why don't we just dive right into tonight's episode? I mean, we saw Mark get evicted 4-2, which was not very surprising,
I don't think, to
anybody. Derek, what do you think? How did you feel about that? Were you surprised at all?
No. It's kind of seen it coming. And with the way that things are laid out, it was the most strategic move for the people who are in power right now to get rid of the last person who's kind of the wild card.
Absolutely. Morgan?
I mean, I definitely agree with that. I do think Mark put up a good argument. And for a split second, I thought he might have had the votes. It could have helped them to get rid of Matt, but I mean, I agree with you, Derek. He was the last straggler. You might as well kick him out now, as upsetting as it is to me.
Right. So, Derek, you were just in the house. You just hosted the last HOH competition, aside from the one that they're playing this evening. So, I have to ask you, the first question we want to know is, do you know Kevin?
Please let us know.
I think so.
Yeah, this is the true story behind that. I was at the auditions in Boston at Quincy Market, so he's not lying there.
Okay.
He came up to me and was like, you know, with that smooth swagger that he has, he's like, listen, I heard you were a pretty good player.
I was like,
yeah, I was all right. He's like, well, my daughters really like you. Can I get a photo with you? We talked for about 10 minutes. I'm like, hey, you're a smooth dude, man. You got a good shot. And literally that was it. It was like, I haven't spoke to him since. The only other thing that happened was I got a Snapchat before he was put on the show, I believe from his daughter's Snapchat account. It was a video of him saying, hey, Derek, pleasure meeting you. You should come out, have some spaghetti with us one night.
Oh my gosh.
Of course.
That was it.
He played it off pretty well. He was like, he acted like he didn't know who you were when you walked in the house too. He's like, who's that? And then he realized who you were.
Right.
Then he admitted to who he thought you were.
It was funny because when I went in there, I expected him to probably be like the most excited, and he was the most reserved. It didn't make the episode, but I was like, hey, Kat, what's up with you? You seem a little down. He's like, nah, man, I'm just taking it all in. And I was like, still smooth, you know, still smooth as ice. But yeah, that was really it. That's all there is to it. I wish I knew him more, maybe after the show, but that's all there is to it.
But now apparently he's an undercover cop.
Yeah.
Thanks. Every single person in that house. So
that's great. I mean, I don't know. We don't even know what he is actually.
True. Who knows? It's Kevin.
But we were.
If anything, he's probably had run-ins with the law, but maybe on the other end.
Right.
I'm sure they always talk about someone's going to end up in a river if they cross him. So,
right.
At the bottom
of
the river.
So, tell him Whitey Bulger stories. You've seen some things.
Yeah. Right. So, what was the temperature like in the house? I mean, it seems this season has been so volatile. Was everybody in pretty good spirits when you were in there? Or?
Yeah, honestly, everyone really was. Everyone was really receptive. Everyone was nice. It was a little awkward at first when I came in with a duffel bag. I felt that little like, why do you have a duffel bag? But then after I let them know that I wasn't actually going to be playing, it kind of came down. Everyone kind of relaxed.
And, I would
freaked out.
I'm sure Paul just about had a heart attack whenever he saw you walk in with the duffel bag, which I low-key love.
There was a gif of someone that, on Twitter I saw that was like when Derek walked in with the duffel bag and his face is like terrified.
My plan is ruined.
Yeah,
you know, the producers were like, we're going to have you walk in, ring the doorbell, hugs and applause and all. And I was like, can we change it up a little bit? And they're like, what do you have in mind? And I was like, do you have any extra Big Brother duffel
bags? Oh, my gosh. Yes, I love that. That is your idea.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
They were like, that's great. So they put a couple towels in it and stuff. But I would have liked to play it up longer, but we were on a short time. We had a short time constraint, so we had to go quick. But I would have loved to let them stew on that for like maybe a half hour or something and just see some of the way the mannerisms would have been differently if I hadn't told them.
Well, I have this tweet that you wrote. You said, before I left the house, I pointed to the money hanging on the wall and said, this is what you're playing for. Don't be a follower. So
yeah, that was paraphrased. There was a lot more to it than that. But essentially, they were giving me a tour of the house. There were people I saw. They're like, oh, you shouldn't be able to influence the game. It literally, you have to take it in context. I was saying a lot of things, a lot of very common terms like, you know, play your own game. Don't be a follower. It was a lot of things. And to insinuate that that was geared towards anyone, it was geared towards the whole house.
Right.
So they didn't follow my advice, obviously. But just there was money hanging on the wall in like a picture frame, and we're like, you know, they were like, what do you guys, you know, they were asking me like, how do you feel about the game? You know, any advice? Listen, this is what you're playing for. Keep that in mind. Go out there, make your moves, play your game. Don't be a follower. Stay strong all the way through.
Right.
And they're like, all right, thanks, appreciate it.
Derek, do you think anyone will actually listen to that?
Yeah, I do. I do think there's a couple people that would actually do something if they had the opportunity. I do think Alex intends on, you know, going to the end with Jason. I think Jason ends up planning on going with Alex, but ultimately, I think what you have here is someone who was brought into the game in Paul, who knows the game, knows what's coming, and is known as a fan favorite. And I think people want to be attached to him because of that fandom he had on the previous season, and also the wealth of knowledge he has because he knows what competitions are coming. Mm-hmm. So I think people don't want to be on the outs with him because his level of awareness involving the game, because he's already played, is invaluable. If I would have known what was coming, it would have been that much easier.
Yeah, right. That's a really good point, because I did want to touch on Paul, and a lot of people online are comparing his game to yours, and I'm wondering, and like somebody even wrote, I have another tweet from Robert M. Rosenberg. He says, this is what I don't get, y'all idolizing Derek for his masterminding of BB16, but villainizing Paul for doing the same thing. What is your take on that? I mean, for me at least, I feel like it's, you were brand new, he's a vet, mm-hmm. There's a huge difference there.
Okay, well, that's like a three-part question. Yeah. So
I'm like really nervous.
Bryce is excited.
First off, the villainizing of Paul, I don't think is so much game-related. I think there are some things that Paul has said in that house that have not sat well with people. Mm-hmm. And we've all said things. I'll be the first to admit I've said things that, you know, you say in the heat of the moment. But I think there's a consistency there that people don't like. And there's also the aspect of it that some of the things he's saying is about players who are no longer playing. So you can't really cough that up to be in gameplay. Right. As far as the gameplay itself, Paul's playing the best game in there. There are a lot of people on social media that say there's a big asterisk on it because technically he was already nominated. He had these 3 weeks of safety. He was a vet. You know, some of that's subjective. You have people who are going to say he's in with a weak cast. People are going to say that it's because he's doing that to the cast. But ultimately, he's playing the hand he was dealt. And by far, he's playing the best game in there. And that's the bottom line. As far as villainizing him, I don't think that people are so much mad at the game he's playing, because I controlled the house too. But for the most part, I didn't receive that type of hate. I think it's some of the extracurricular things that are happening in there that people are not too fond of.
Right. Do you guys feel like there is more hate recent in the recent seasons, maybe even on OTT, that like – because on 16, I feel like there was not as much. But after that, it was, well, I mean, a 15
right.
too.
Well,
but
I think the more social media becomes, you know, more popular, the more people can feel that they can sit behind a computer, they can tweet anything. So I just think, I mean, 16, I guess Instagram and all that was, you know, popular. But everyone's on social media now. And it's everyone from an 80-year-old grandma to an 11-year-old troll. So I just think the more popular, the more people are on social media, the more hate you get.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's unfortunate thing about the game, and I think, and Morgan probably sees it now, you have to step back from it, because if you're constantly looking at it, there are people that go on there specifically to cause drama, to cause problems, in the hopes of you responding to them. So you have to understand that, Working in the field that I've worked in, I've definitely learned to deal with that. So you just got to kind of lay off of it and just let it be what it is, you know, and try to use social media to your advantage, and also to try to spread some positivity with it and just have fun with it.
Yeah. If you could sit down with these players, how would you coach them to get rid of Paul? Like, who do you think has the most potential to get rid of him, or who wants to? That makes any sense.
I don't really think anybody wants to get rid of him, honestly. I think Paul's in the best position in the house. If I were to coach them, it's not even so much how to get Paul out. It's just how to cross-reference information. I never – even Cody, who was my best friend in the house, who I loved like a brother, even in the house, I didn't take everything he said at face value. I would compare notes with other players who were also talking to him. The issue that we're having is no one is comparing notes. People have decided, they've drawn their lines, and instead of maybe bouncing – like a simple conversation between like an Alex and Christmas would confirm that Paul's saying the same information to her that she's saying to Alex. You know, right. So just one conversation would do that, where you go, oh, wait a second, he's saying the same thing to both of us. Well, he can't be telling the truth to both of us. But unfortunately, the lines have already been drawn, and that's probably a testament to Paul's game. And he's kind of keeping them away from each other. He's serving as the conduit between them, and that's good for him, because he's basically – it's a telephone game that only involves Paul's telephone. Right. So that's good.
Do you think you should just give him the $500K?
Do you think he's going to win?
Nothing's a guarantee in here. You know, everyone thought Vanessa was going to win. If I had to pick a winner right now, because I think that's where we're going, Paul's going to win the game. And the reason he's going to win is a combination of things. One, he's a smart player. Two, he knows the competitions that are coming. And the longer you leave him in the game, he's going to be able to anticipate the games that are coming up and strategize and plan for them. And he will be less likely to, relay that information to the other house guests that he's going to be competing with. So if he gets to the final four, he's got it, I think. He's going to take Christmas, and no disrespect to Christmas, but if the competitions are similar to how they've been in the past with HOHs, the two of the three competitions, the final three HOHs, are a physical, and then it's a physical / mental, which is kind of like a timing comp, and then the mental comp is when there's only two people left. Mm-hmm. So by attrition, she's automatically not going to be able to compete in the first two parts of the HOH. Therefore, whoever the other two individuals are, they decide their own future. So if he gets the people there that he wants, I don't see an angle where he doesn't win.
Do you see a Paul blindside anywhere in the future? I think that's what everyone wants to happen. Do we see that?
No, I don't. I think Paul pretty much has their trust. And those people who are like hoping for a difference now, these people are kind of sitting to their ways, and I think they're going to stick to their plan, which is a final three with Paul, and then try to beat him in the final part HOH. What they don't know is they can't beat him, or I don't think they can. I mean, Alex maybe. Alex has a chance, but other than that, and maybe Jason, but Jason isn't as – the IQ isn't as high as Alex. That's just the truth. But physically, he could beat Paul.
Do you think that it was – do you think Paul has terrible jury management, though, at least at this point?
No, I think his jury management has been great so far this season. Honestly, I think he tried to mend fences with Cody as much as he could. I think Cody would vote for him. Elena, although she knew Paul was running the house, she didn't go out with bad blood on him. He wasn't the one that sent her home. I think he's good with her. And I think Mark is just a lovable guy. He loves everyone. I think he's going to vote for the best player in the end.
Right.
And if Paul's up there with Christmas or Josh, I don't think it's going to be personal for Mark. I think he's going to say the best player in this house, which we've all pointed out, was Paul.
Yeah.
I mean, the question is, will Jessica vote Paul? I think is what everyone is the most curious about. At this point, I think even she would, because she sees that, I mean, he's the only one playing the game. So I think even Paul might have Jessica's vote.
Right.
I think I would say that Paul and Alex are playing. I think Alex is playing. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, she's gotten one thing wrong, and that's the level of loyalty that Paul has for her. That's the one thing, but it's a crucial thing because he's the best player in the game. But I think those two are playing. Other than that, I would agree with you. There's nobody who really has a good read on the game this year.
Right.
I mean, I think Raven and Matt are pretty brilliant, so.
You know, it's tough. It's so tough to talk on these shows after going in there, because you get to meet these people and it becomes different, right? Because now you've talked to them personally, and you've had a little bit of a conversation with them, and you learn who they are as people a little bit. Even Josh, who I really wasn't fond of some of the antics he pulled, but when you meet him in the house, obviously they're different, you know, because they come out of game mode for a minute. So you got to keep in perspective that it is a game. Like I said, the things that are taking place in addition to the gameplay are the things that I'm personally not fond of.
Yeah, no, exactly. I mean, but to your point with Matt and Raven, the only thing is I feel like everyone is under – I mean, maybe this last episode or tonight's episode kind of showed this. But to me, last night, I thought – first of all, I was so frustrated watching the episode because it was just infuriating that Paul was getting whatever he wants. Yeah. But with Matt and Raven, I feel like people are – underestimating them. I mean, they could be flying under the radar and then start winning these competitions if they're actually competitors. That's to say, if they are. You don't think they are? You don't think they're that foolish, or they're not fooling us?
I think Matt physically could win a comp, unless it's a chance comp where it's just like throw a puck or something like that. I don't see either one of them being able to consistently win. Raven, no. And Matt, he hasn't won anything yet. He was making a joke tonight, but he literally hasn't won anything. So
no.
I don't think he's a better competitor than Jason, Alex, or Paul, those three right there. Right. And in Christmas, you know, mentally, she could probably win some comps over those two as well. So I don't see Matt and Raven making a run at it. I really don't. I think those two are going to be a victim of their own.
Dang it.
I do have one quick question because, I mean, this season – all we hear, it seems like, is jury. I want to make it to jury. On your season, was that the mentality at all? Did anybody say they strictly wanted to make jury? And why has that changed?
I'm sure it's crossed once in a while, but I think it goes back to, honestly, a couple things. What you just said, Morgan, it goes back to financial reasons. These guys know that if they make it to jury, they get a certain amount of money. But more importantly, and it's unfortunate, but there's a lot of people in that house that have other goals other than winning the game. That's just a fact.
Mm-hmm.
And they're there for exposure. They're there because they want to build on a career. Christmas has got a book. You know, she's a national bestseller. She's got this CrossFit business. Elena's in entertainment. Paul wants to, you know, has a, you know, clothing line and all these other things. So a lot of these people have some ambitions outside of this game. So being on TV as long as they can is their ultimate goal. And that would mean getting to jury because then they're there the whole way through. So it's unfortunate, but I can tell you it might have been mentioned once or twice as a strategy, but not to the extent that people are doing it this year. No.
That's upsetting. I hope Big Brother doesn't become that. I think that's my biggest fear with this show. And I'm sure a lot of people that I see online is, when is it going to just eventually become everyone is now going on? Not because they want $500,000 and they want to play, but I mean, it's social media. You do get a following from this. So
right. We'll
see.
Well, the good news is now that they're in jury, hopefully they'll start taking some more chances because they accomplished, unfortunately, their goal. So now that they know they're there, they can afford to maybe take a couple chances. And, you know, I think the HOH tonight will decide some things. It might draw some lines. It all depends on how things play out.
I'm sure I do want to ask you, I know that they're out of the house now, but I want to know what you think the downfall of Jess and Cody were. I mean, I know there's a lot, but what do you think the final nail in their coffin was?
You know, I talked to Jess and she knows where her nail in the coffin was. You know, she had it figured out. You know, Cody made a big move. It was the right move. Putting Paul on the block was the right move. Kudos to him. If Paul doesn't have that hidden power, I believe Paul goes home. I think they're able to flip it and send Paul home. And we are seeing a completely different game this year. So Cody made the best move he could have made in that situation, period. But it was, he didn't get the approval of the alliance, and that was his mistake. Jess knows that. And her biggest mistake was putting Ramses on the block, you know, and making it, you know, not knowing that he was actually the target going home. And I think they were a good alliance. I think Jessica's intuition about the game was strong. But, you know, all it takes is one mistake in that game, and Morgan can attest to that, and it could cost you the game, and ultimately it did.
Yeah. Which is – I so wanted to see them say, if you had to pick anyone from this cast, would you pick Jess and Cody to come back? I'd have to.
Would I pick Jess and Cody to come back as a team?
Or no, either or. Let's not – okay, we can – I think I can go ahead and say that they probably weren't the best for each other in that house.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. I would definitely say, although Cody, his level of being, you know, genuine is obviously admirable in a game like Big Brother. I would like to see Jess play again for the gameplay aspect by herself, not going in there with a showmance and just playing the game, because I thought she was a decent player. And we didn't really get to see that because she was kind of with Cody the whole time. And they kind of had to protect themselves from some personal things.
Right.
So she didn't really get to really dive into the game. And also, Cody flipped her on some things, so it would be nice to see her play again.
Yeah.
Bring Jess back.
Absolutely.
Derek, it seems like vets when they go back into the house, for example, I mean, even like with Nicole and I know you know her and Paul as well, they seem to be beloved in their first season that they come on, and then they're kind of sort of hated, at least on social media. Why do you think that is? Do you think it's a different strategy that they come and different mentality that they come in with without fresh eyes? Would your strategy be the same? I know I'm asking 1,000 questions again, but
yeah. So the first part, obviously,
just ignore there's me.
A preconceived notion before any vet enters the house that people don't want to see vets. Mm-hmm. They want all new players. So the minute you come in there, whether you're loved or not, people automatically, there's going to be a portion of the population that automatically doesn't like you because you're a vet. So that's one. With Nicole, it was that she didn't play hard enough. With Paul, again, I'm only seeing certain things, but I would say that the big knock on Paul is not his gameplay. It's the personal stuff and also the advantages that he's had. I think like hardcore gamers don't like the fact that he had Morgan. Again, she knows this. I keep referring to her, but 30 days in that house to kind of build relationships with someone without the fear of being evicted.
Oh, it's a complete advantage. It's ridiculous. Hey.
Brother, CBS, I told production this. If you want me to play again, give me 3 weeks of safety. Right? And on the first night, you have to understand, too, the psychology of Big Brother, right? When Paul goes in there, he's given 8 friendship bracelets. And you would say, some people would say, oh, you know, but that means he had to, you know, turn, you know, 8 people off. No. What Big Brother did is essentially create a psychology of Paul's approval meant positive things. So you wanted Paul's approval, and the first night he had to approve of you, and he had the ability to give you safety. So it sets a tone, and then on top of that, the 3 weeks of safety, man, you want to give me that, I'm ready.
Right?
To play.
I'd come back.
Would you guys go back in the house?
You know, for me I'll let Morgan answer. Ladies first.
Yeah.
Oh, I coming out of the house, I said no way. You know what, I had my run, all that, but you know, watching it back, it's an awesome experience. It's fun to play the game. I would want to do it and go back and try and play it a bit differently than I did on OTT. And I would love to come back on a normal Big Brother season where America did not have such a say. Yeah. Because it made it hard to play. And it almost made it to where we weren't playing actual Big Brother. So I would like to come back and see how I would do on a normal season.
I agree completely. I said it publicly, I think, that as a winner, you should be allowed to come back on a season and you know, because it is different. It is different, and I think that you've earned that. So I do agree. As far as I'm concerned, I have some things going on right now, positive things, that wouldn't allow me to go into the house right now. And more importantly, my daughter, Tenley, is older now. She's almost 4 years old. So it's one of those things where she didn't really remember me leaving the first time. She remembers when I'm gone for a day filming. So it's those things where I don't know if I could do that to him again, but I never say never, because if the right opportunity presented itself, maybe a shorter season with like to really test myself, then maybe, but I'm going in a positive direction. I have some really good things going on right now. So I think I'm going to be a spectator from this point forward, but you never know.
Yeah. Well, good for you. What you said about your daughter, I'm sure you empathize a lot with Jason. So I mean, how can you be away from your family that long? Like, what do you think, what is he going through? I mean,
it's a blessing and a curse, because his level of drive and motivation is probably more than most, because he's playing for something bigger than himself. Mm-hmm. When you're in there playing to change a child's life, your own child's life, there's no more motivation than that. And I can tell you that for me, when I saw Tenley halfway through my season, that was the biggest advantage I had, because it motivated me to a level I can't even put into words. Like I was there, but I started to forget because I'd been in the house so long. And then I saw her on the screen tell me she loved me. And honestly, I was looking around like, you guys are effed. Because you're going to have to kill me now to beat me. I'm just like, I didn't say that publicly, but I knew at that point, I was like, there's no way I'm going out that door. So, you know, that's it. And I think Jason knows that too, you know, from seeing the letter now. I think he's reinvigorated, and I like Jason. I think he's going to go out fighting no matter what.
Yeah.
I would like to see Jason go far. That's for sure.
I would too. I really would. I like Jason a lot. I always have, and he's kind of had an intuition for the game. He makes mistakes, but I really do like Jason. You can tell he's genuinely a good person. Mm-hmm.
Do you think being a I read this on the Entertainment Weekly recaps. The recapper said having good or bad news from home puts a bounty on your head. Do you think I guess what I'm asking is, did you ever want to not reveal that you were a dad, or do you think that gives you an advantage or disadvantage, or is there
Yeah, I thought about it. I thought about it in the beginning when I was changing up my strategy, you know, not revealing that I was married or a daughter, so they couldn't use that. But I hate to say it again, but most seasons don't use that against you. Mm-hmm. I know this season there's been some things brought up about kids and stuff, but that was never even a question during my season. My family, my cast was happy to talk about kids and talk about things other than the game. It just it depends on the cast, but I couldn't go 90 days without talking about my family. I just couldn't do it. I there's certain things I can do, not being able to even mention.
Oh, there you go. Sorry, cut out for a second.
what part did you lose me at?
You couldn't go 90 days.
Yes, that was
without talking about my family.
I couldn't go 90 days without mentioning my kid's name once. I couldn't do it.
Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah. So you won Big Brother 16. We all know that, obviously. when do you think? What do you think your biggest accomplishment in that game was?
My biggest accomplishment was obviously winning.
Touche.
I think the fact that not being nominated in a season where there was literally double the amount of nominations, essentially two seasons. I think that's a pretty good accomplishment. Yeah.
Did you know that you won is a better question, I think.
When did I know I knew I won?
Yeah, while you're in the house.
I know it sounds crazy, but I knew I had a path to Final Two, but I knew how good of a game Cody was playing behind the scenes and also how many comps he won. So I actually gave him more of a shot to win in the end than the jury, because the jury kind of just looked at him as my puppet, where he worked with me on a lot of things, but they didn't know that and he didn't articulate it well. But I thought it was going to be a 5-4 or maybe a 6-3 vote. So I gave him more of a chance than he had. So I didn't take anything for granted that entire season. But I knew when I got to final four, when we got rid of Frankie, I was like, I'm going to be in the final two. Everyone who's left will take me to the final two with them. And I think that's similar to what you have this season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, it sounds like you said the same thing. You said you didn't know until...
That house messes with your head. No matter how confident you think you are, it completely... You question everything. I know I did, at least. So, Derek, I can only imagine how you felt. You don't know how
the jury's going to feel.
Right.
And you think you played a good game, but one conversation in the jury house turns people off to you and you decide to vote with emotion and you lose. It's that simple. So you never know you're going to win in there for sure.
Derek, I have a question. Say you would have been on OTT format. Do you think America would have voted you the winner?
Ooh.
No, I don't. I don't think they would have voted me to win, because people want to see a change up. Mm-hmm. And I think they would have got bored with me running the show. And I think they would have voted to evict me. I would never play a game where America was deciding the whole thing, because that's not Big Brother. No disrespect, you guys.
No, I completely agree with you.
That's Big Brother. That's it's a popularity contest. Who can remain popular the entire season? And Big Brother is about, you know, being ruthless in your strategy, you know, being objective and not emotional. You can't do that when you have to consider. I was on Team America. And I wanted to get Donnie out 3 weeks before we got him out. But I had to still pretend like, you know, there was something there, because America was voting was deciding whether I won $5,000 or not every week. So the first week I got rid of Donnie, I lost the $5,000. Coincidence? No. We knew I was playing two games. One was trying to get America's approval, and the second one was trying to win the money for my family. So yeah, I would not want to play a game where I'm constantly trying to win the approval over of America. I liked being America's player, but I was proud of it, but it definitely made the game harder for sure. Yeah.
Well, Derek, we know you got to go, but we really, really appreciate you being here. Thank you so much for sitting and talking with us.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Absolutely.
Good luck with the rest of this. Yeah, good luck with everything that you're doing.
Yes, good luck.
Okay. Thank you. Take care, guys.
Take care.
Bye.
Whoa. God, I mean, could you tell I was...
so many good questions.
I was like the Riddler over here.
Right?
He's probably like, what is wrong with this kid?
You just had a lot on your mind.
I did. But I know we talked about it a little bit, but I want to get more of your take on tonight and Mark's...
Right, Mark going home. I know. That just brought me back to it.
Yeah.
I mean, we all saw it coming. It was predictable, which is upsetting. Right. And everyone wanted to see a blindside. I would have loved to see Matt go home. I'd split up one of the showmances. I think the most upsetting thing to me is you really got to see Mark fight. I would love to see, you know, just that blindside and his hard work. I love seeing somebody go out of the house kicking. And that's what was upsetting about with Jessica, is I feel like she kind of rolled over and died. But with Mark, he was going and he went out so gracefully. Yeah. Like, I love a classy exit, as entertaining as Cody's was. Like, you, something about Mark's just, like, touched your heart. I wanted to see him stay.
But what? Why do you think that he didn't tell anyone to target Paul? And he even told Paul tonight that he was untouchable. How does he not? How, I mean, this is what was so frustrating to me last night when I was watching the episode. I was just, like, stewing. And I'm eating stew, actually, to be eating stew ironically. And stewing. Yeah. but the fact that he did not say Paul's not even on anyone's radar. That's what just is so mind boggling to me.
And
do you think it's the editing? I mean, I'm really concerned.
I really don't understand that either, because if that was me going out of the house and, you know, I had given it my all, I said every argument I could, I would be going around screaming, being like, somebody, like, Paul is going to win. Like, where is somebody just going absolutely psycho?
Well, I think, and now to backtrack, I think Jessica did do that, and a couple people, and Dominique
also.
And
I think that started turning wheels, so is it just going to take literally every person to be like, somebody, like, look hello. At Paul.
Why don't they talk? I mean, it's really baffling.
It's a testament to how good Paul's playing. He's got everyone really believing him. And then I do want to talk about the fact that, so Mark picked the apple from the tree and this new.
Oh yeah. So let's start the tree of temptation.
The tree
I wrote this
of
down.
Temptation.
It's introduced in there are rewards and curses. Mm-hmm. And he got
save a friend, but, which poor guy, I like know. Out of all of them.
There's also like can't play next HOH.
Bounty on your head, which is really interesting. Yeah. I wonder.
So what does that mean?
So bounty on your head, whoever picks that one, that means whoever votes them out. Whoever gets that person out then wins $5,000.
Okay.
So it's like, you don't want that because, I mean, shoot, Elena took $5,000 like it was nothing. Apparently, people in this game.
Paul needs to pick bounty.
Somebody. I don't even know if Paul
no, I'm just
picked
kidding.
Bounty on his
I think
head.
Paul is actually playing an amazing game. And it's like, it makes me so mad because I think, like, on one hand, I can't stand the fact that he is making it so predictable. But it is so, he's playing a magnificent game.
Well, and he did a, where he was talking to the cameras on the live feed. And he kind of went through and explained step by step what he was doing. And at that point, I was like, well, damn, like, so just hand him the check. Like, it was impressive.
Really?
Like,
I mean,
he really had thought out every single possible thing. And I mean, it's impressive. If he gets to the end, I was in the jury, I would vote for him. It's just, it's frustrating because I want to see something else happen. It's just kind of dull seeing only Paul be a genius.
Well, you were going to say, we were talking about the Tree of Temptation.
Yes, the Tree of Temptation. So Mark picks
Sorry,
it.
I got you off guard.
No. We're just going on tangents. Mark picks it, and it's save a friend, and he saves Paul. And then part of me was like, okay, like, maybe he's only saving Paul because Paul is the obvious. Like, we knew he was safe, so it was just kind of like a throwaway of the temptation. But then he goes in the DR, and he's like, you know, like, I really just wanted to save Paul. I trust him, all this stuff. And I was like, what do you think? Do you think he really was just, you know, brainwashed by Paul, or was he just throwing it away?
It's a good question. I thought he would save Christmas.
But
no, she couldn't save him. He couldn't save her.
Dude, like,
but no,
I
am kind of surprised. I mean, it is kind of an eye for an eye a little bit. I see his logic. I think he is just a genuinely nice
he's
guy.
He's like a teddy bear.
and he is repaying a debt that, and maybe he thought, well, Paul, maybe he knows deep down that Paul is controlling the house, but he can't touch him. And he can't go spreading rumors because no one's going to believe him or something. That's the take that maybe.
Well, what I was thinking is, say he picked this, you know, we didn't, and I could be wrong, all the live feeders out there, I didn't catch up exactly on this, but why didn't he, you know, make an argument with that? Like, hey, I have this. You know, I guess no one else was in danger this week, so it's so predictable, so never mind. He couldn't really even make that argument, which is frustrating, but...
Well, and I do think he did a good job of trying to push the... tell Christmas and Josh that they should target... But I feel like, see, the thing what I said about Matt and Raven is the fact that both those two couples are going to be, or nomances or whatever they are.
Nomances.
That's what they call them. They're going to be, they're gunning for each other. And so Matt and Raven just are going to, you know, rise from the ashes.
Oh,
or,
gosh.
I mean, not,
What'll be very, very interesting is I would love, actually, I don't know if I would love this or not, but say Matt or Raven did get HOH. It'd just be the Paul show again. But, I mean, we've never got to see either one of them in power. So right now, they're getting the edit that they do nothing and they sit around. Yeah. But it would be very interesting, in my opinion, to see one of them kind of be forced into power.
Yeah.
I mean, watch Matt just be this mastermind cereal eater. Like,
that would be insane.
I don't think that's the case, but I would kind of love that.
Yeah, but I think people have done that. People have flown under the radar that are, I mean, I don't know. I guess maybe not. I'm just trying to think. Like, even Nicole, I keep going back to her. Mm-hmm. She was, I mean, everybody knew her gameplay, at least on the outside. All the viewers did, because they knew that she was a strong competitor. They knew that she was a strong game player. But she didn't show it, so everyone was like, is she just, like, phoning it in here? Mm-hmm. But with these two, they have an opportunity because nobody knows who they are. Maybe they are. I mean, I'm hoping that Matt and Raven may pull something. That would be insane if they pulled something out and surprised us all.
We can dream. I don't think it'll happen, but we can dream.
Okay, so what did you think of Zingbot?
Zingbot! One, I would like to say that I'm so upset that Zingbot did not come on OTT, but we were on a budget.
What?
So, you know, BB Budget didn't get Zingbot.
You didn't get Zingbot?
Somebody send me some Zings. Actually, no, please don't. I don't want to be insulted via Twitter. No one do this.
Yeah, Twitter says gladly.
Like, okay.
No, but I wrote down some Zings.
Somewhat disappointing. I thought Paul's was disappointing.
Paul's, okay. Yeah, Paul's was last season, you taught me so much, like how to lose $5,000 or that a bunch of different things.
Right.
I
thought Christmases, like,
the jingle.
Whatever producer wrote that, like,
yeah.
You killed it with that one. That Who one was knows? My favorite.
I liked Raven's, Raven's and Matt's were both good. Raven's was, you got the clownitard. That's the worst punishment ever. Oh, wait, it's just your face.
But the best is she didn't get it. She looked around and she's like, what? I'm like, she's poor thing is going to get on social media after this and be...
There's a lot of her dancing on social media.
And the hashtag Raven Exposed. Raven, if you're never going to watch this, don't click on the
she
hashtag.
She might watch this, Morgan. Okay?
Don't click on the hashtag Raven Exposed. Just don't. Save yourself the time.
I kind of want to click on it.
Please do it.
Okay. I can do it. Okay, good. And then Matt's was, congrats on making it so far in the game since the only thing you've done is Raven.
That was a good one. I did like that one. You know what I was proud? I was proud that Josh didn't cry. I thought he was going to hear
Mark
that.
But Mark did cry.
That's what I couldn't figure out. Was Mark crying or was that a flashback?
I actually wondered that too, but I mean, I think he was...
It might have been Mark crying. When does Mark not cry?
Wouldn't they have put it in like a sepia tone or something? Like they would have put it somewhere.
Let's just go with yes. Mark probably was crying about that. His was good.
Yeah.
I was disappointed in Kevin's, but it's like... Kevin's honestly so likable. How do you zing him?
Right.
Actually, I did think they were going to give Kevin a zing about Christmas, about the whole, you know, everyone was talking about, Kevin kissed Christmas.
What, that happened?
Yes. He apparently kissed her on the cheek, and then everyone in the house and, you know, on Reddit was saying, oh my God, he's cheating on his wife, all this stuff. And finally, his son came out on Reddit and was like, guys, my dad's happily married. They've been married for 30 years. That's just him being a nice guy, so.
But what constitutes to kiss on the cheek, like, to loving romantic feelings? Or sexual feelings, I guess.
Because people are crazy. Like, people are crazy.
Don't alienate our audience.
No, not the audience, but, like, people in that house will twist anything possible. But, yeah, that was Kevin. That was what happened with Kevin and Christmas.
Have you been watching the live feeds recently?
Not recently. I started a little bit, and then I kind of fizzled out after the predictability came across.
I think I was reading Big Brother update, shout out, because those are really helpful. But Paul, I mean, it's unbelievably frustrating that he's just like, and you're just like, is anyone going to say anything?
Right.
Are you going to do anything? But I wonder what this HOH is going to bring. Like, who do you think is going to win?
Oh, because it's an endurance comp.
Yeah. Tell maybe.
Okay. So with this, I don't think it's going to be Jason. I don't think it's going to be because it's hard for a big guy to balance in the giant hot dog. I have a weird feeling. I think it might be Alex. I don't know.
Or Raven, I guess, possibly.
That's true. But the question I feel with Raven, does Raven even want to win HOH? You know, like,
she doesn't need to.
She doesn't
a
need
lot
to
of these people, though, don't need to win HOH.
Right. So it's like, I think it's going to be Alex. I have a weird feeling. I would love if it was Kevin, but I feel like it'll be Alex or Paul. Hmm. Can you imagine if it's Paul again?
What would he do? He'd have to make some sort of move, though.
He would. I think he would
put up Kevin.
Maybe Kevin, because I feel like that's what everyone else would want him to do. Or would he put up one of each?
But then he's still showing his cards. He'd still have to show his cards to somebody. You know, I mean, if he is aligned, he may not. He's probably doesn't want to win this HOH either. But if he's aligning with all three of those couples, then he's gonna have to make at least two. Like if he doesn't, so if he nominates, say he nominates Christmas and Raven, then are people gonna meet? Are they gonna maybe start suspecting that he's working with Alex and Jason?
That's true. And so, yeah, that makes me think almost Paul will throw this. You're right. He doesn't need to win. He does not need to win the power.
Who does need to win?
Kevin, honestly. But I don't know if Kevin knows that he needs to win. I feel like Kevin feels like he's in a good spot with everyone.
I agree with you.
Which is upsetting. I want to scream through the camera and be like, Kevin.
Well, hey, do your vibes thing, because that happened last time and
Kevin,
you did it and it worked.
Kevin, my brain waves to you right now. You need to win HOH. Target Paul. Be smart. Go to the end. I really think you'll win. He's got to make a big move, and I really think if Kevin made a big move, say got Paul out, somebody big, Kevin goes to the end. He's likable. He then has that on his resume that he took someone out. Kevin wins. The world is happy.
Right. Well, I forgot to ask Derek. Shocking. I had a question I didn't ask him. I wanted to know, like, how do you, and maybe you can shed some light, but how do you see, like, Matt and Raven and Josh, like, specifically, just I thought of those three people. How do you see them winning the game? I mean, and you can take them one at a time, or I don't know. I mean, that's...
I don't see Matt or Raven winning the game.
At all? You don't think there's a path for them?
No.
Like, they couldn't win?
I don't think either one of them could go and present a case to the jury as to any reason why they would win. Because at the end, they do. They have to make a speech of X, Y, Z, here's why I should win, this is why you should vote for me. At this point, what on earth would Matt and Raven say?
Right, nothing.
They would have nothing to say unless they started winning, so I don't see a chance for them. With Josh, I think Josh is playing a lot more strategically than we think. I think he's done a lot of camera talking, and I've kind of picked up on that. I think he is playing a lot smarter, and I think he's very passionate about wanting to be in the game. So I think he could present that. So I think Josh has a better chance than Matt and Raven. Still slim.
What do you think Josh's best move has been then? Because I do agree with you. I think he is playing a little bit more strategically. Like when he was HOH and he was like, I want to get Elena out. At least he was making a decision. Granted, he didn't get what he wanted because of Paul. But he still was doing something. He still was voicing his own opinion. Mm-hmm. Not playing someone else's agenda.
Right. With Josh has done a good job from going to like everyone's number one target. Remember at the beginning of the game, he was this hothead. Everyone wanted him out. And somehow, even with all of his, like, psycho blow-ups, he's managed to, like, kind of fly under the radar, and people have put him off. So I think he's, whatever he's done, his social game, whatever that is, he's done a good job at that. Mm. And I think partnering with Christmas was also a good idea for him.
And that that happened pretty organically, too.
Right,
that didn't...
and that was, and it's, because she has a good social game, and I think she's... Well, I take that back.
I saw that she told Josh or Paul that if they all make it to final three, that she'll take the bullet because she doesn't deserve to be from final two. It's like,
so okay, I take that back.
Well, maybe she. I mean, okay, I'm trying to give people the benefit of the doubt here and be positive.
Yes,
that's my
positivity.
New thing. But the fact is that maybe she is doing that as a strategy. Maybe it is. Maybe she is just saying that so that people will be sympathetic. I think that could have worked for Mark had he made a few more different moves earlier. I think when he was on the block, he could have played the nice guy card and really, you know, nothing personal, whatever. I think he might have been able to turn the ship around had he made a couple of other moves. That may just be what she's doing, hopefully. I'm trying to hope these people are being strategic when they're really not at all.
And after watching Christmas this season, I could be so wrong, but to me, she seems like a fighter. She doesn't seem like somebody who would just roll over and let someone else win half a million dollars. Unless, like Derek said, she is here just to promote her book and all that stuff, which I hope not, but I mean,
I hope everyone goes and buys her book, by the way.
Go buy her book.
Just get her book, okay?
This is what she wants.
Probably Amazon, eBay, one of those.
Amazon for sure. I think
Craigslist, possibly. BarnesandNoble.com.
I like, remember she would get so upset she couldn't compete. She would cry and all this stuff. So I'm like, all right, I know there's a fighter in there somewhere. Maybe she's just, you know, playing all of them and saying this. So Christmas, brainwaves. I would love for her to talk to the camera. Like, talk to us. This is what I miss about OTT is we had these live DRs. So everyone knew exactly what was going on in everyone's head every single week, which is with this, yeah. We were like, I don't know what you're doing.
Right.
So.
Okay, Morgan, I have something to throw at you.
Oh, not, hit me
not
with
physically.
It. Okay.
But I have a new segment that I
new
thought
new segment.
It's called Julie's Corner.
Oh, so
in
creative.
Memory of Julie Chen.
I
mean, not in memory. I
love
I mean, in
Julie
honor.
Chen. In
Sorry,
memory.
Not in memory.
Julie is still alive forever.
In honor of Julie Chen. Okay, so this week Julie Chen told Entertainment Weekly that her favorite Big Brother winner, because Entertainment Weekly had all the Big Brother winners. They I think they ranked
Guys,
them
I got last place.
What?
I got last place.
But
in my defense, and what everyone else said online, is I was on a different version.
Yeah,
they,
you can't.
A lot less people watched it. They
exactly.
didn't know who I was, but... I did get last place.
So, okay, all right, you wouldn't, whatever. If you played
another,
you wouldn't have gotten last place. But anyway, she said that her favorite winner was Rachel Riley. And she says, I'm going to say Rachel Riley because she turned that ship around at the 11th hour. She had everyone against her. She was also seen as a little bit of a troublemaker, a loudmouth, and she had everything stacked up against her. But she pulled it out by winning competitions, and ultimately, when you get the jury to vote after you've pissed off so many people, that says a lot. And I'm going to throw it out there, being a woman. So I want to ask you, do you think that it is harder to play this game as a woman or a man, or do you think it's fairly equal? How do you feel about that?
I think it is harder as a woman. I think... people underestimate you as a woman. I don't know why. And I feel like with Big Brother, people automatically assume girls go in there to get stuck with a guy. And that's why I think with my season, I was so against a showmance because I didn't want to be associated with that. You know, I made the whole joke about the bikini girl thing, but like I wanted to be a strong woman. And I think it is hard. I think a lot of girls go in there with the mindset, I'm just going to partner up with a guy and they'll carry me the whole way. So for a strong female to, you know, happen like Rachel, I think that's awesome, and I agree with Julie. I think Rachel is up there as one of my favorite winners, but I think it is harder, and I think that's why we see. I mean, you don't see a lot of female winners. Yeah. I think that is a true testament to
that's
that.
That's actually why we played Kesha Woman for the song today.
Right,
came full circle.
It came,
but
full circle.
I wanted to. Is it because of competitions too, or do you think is it just because they have to be tethered to a guy? And Julie did go on to say that. You know, Brendan was actually the one clinging to Rachel rather than the
right,
other way around.
Right, so that is an interesting situation. I think some competitions are a little easier for guys. But then, I don't know, you think about endurance competitions, it's a lot easier for a tiny girl to stand on a wall than it is for a giant dude.
Yeah.
So, I mean, everyone's going to have their strengths and their weaknesses in competitions. It's interesting why guys go to the end. And is it because guys tend to gang up together? Here's what I think it is. I think guys are more likely to work together. Girls, for some reason, like look at Alex on this season, does not want to work with other girls. For some reason, girls get catty. They get dramatic. They never want to work with other females. And I'm like, why? Sometimes it works to band together with other females. I guess girls just don't get along. But I think that right there is a lot of the reason.
I think you're right. I think the guys, I mean, in a lot of seasons past, we've had these huge guy alliances, or even, you know, with Derek and Cody, they have this two-man alliance, and then they kind of just steamroll everybody. And they have within a larger alliance of guys. And I do think it is, I agree with her. I think it's harder. And I think if a woman does win, like you did, I think it's very admirable. And I think it's much harder that you can, I think it's a huge accomplishment. Not that the guys, I mean, you know, you have to have strategy if you're going to win, but it just, I think it's that much more. You have to be able to work with people, and you have to be likable, and there's all these other boxes you have to check,
right?
Which is so unfair, but you know, that's just the nature of the game.
That it is. And, right. I think it goes back to, you have to work with everyone. You can't say I'm not going to work.
And that's for everybody. That's not
with
just
guys and
girls.
I've never heard of a guy on Big Brother being like, I'm not going to work with other guys. Like, has that ever happened? They're like, no,
I'm not working with him.
I'm being in a bromance. Like, that's the first thing they say is like, we got a bromance. So, yeah,
exactly.
You never hear that with girls.
All right, you guys. Well, that's it for us. Continue to send us your questions, thoughts, and favorite moments with the hashtag BuzzBigBrother. You may see them on the show. We will see you next week. That is all for us. I am Bryce McClay. You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Bryce Advice.
And I am Morgan Ouellette. You can find me on Twitter at Morgan_Ouellette, Instagram at Morgan Lee Ouellette. And see y'all next week. Stay tuned because we got more guests coming up. Oh,
really?
I haven't told Bryce this, but we
do. I'm always the last to know. Bye, Bryce. You guys.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.